twisting himself into a pretzel, who is now committing himself to 4 more years in Iraq, whose only disagreement with Bush on Iraq seems to be saying that he's going to multilateralize the occupation of Iraq, who was criticized, thank goodness, by Jesse Jackson just recently about a very white bread kind of campaign, who is not discussing civil rights, not talking about trade unions, talking about women should have the right to, abortion should be safe, legal, and then rare, dropped the Kyoto Accord support from the, which had been in the Clinton-Gore platform. What's going on with this guy? Do you have concerns?
I do have concerns by some of the public comments that have been made, and I think that basically is going to hopefully change on some of these issues. I think he needs to go back to number one, be proud of the fact that he argued against a war which was not right, which was the Vietnam War, and be proud of the fact that he had the courage to go to the Congress and to be on Nixon's enemies list as a result of that courage and embrace that rather than running away from it, which I think he's beginning to do in terms of embracing the fact that respond to these Republican attacks, because these guys have been in hibernation since before the convention, the Republicans, Karl Rove especially. After the convention, the dogs were let loose, starting with a head dog, Karl Rove. And as a result of that, those kinds of attacks that we saw during the convention really needed to be confronted, and that's why I'm glad that he's getting more of a detention and moving towards the position of health care and the economy and the joblessness that we're facing in this country, and Medicare, which clearly the Republicans are now trying to blame him for in terms of increases by 17%, as opposed to taking on the appropriate title of being the drug company's best friend, which is George Bush, at the expense of seniors.
Well, I think we both agree, and I think the concern we have is that there were several articles written in the New York Times, even people that really hate Bush, Maureen Dowd, for instance, saying that, you know, Kerry is basically self-destructing. He's conveying himself as a deeply conflicted person who I think has better, I mean, I don't like to psychologize about somebody having better politics than they're expressing, but this guy had a pretty good track record in the Senate on a lot of these votes. And as you said, I mean, I don't want to spend my life writing Democrat speeches, but if he, you know, the famous, if Clinton only said this, if Gore only said that, but, you know, why didn't he say, I didn't want to spend $85 billion, and it was not about body armor for the troops, give me a break. It was, I didn't want to give $85 billion to Halliburton. That was a way of trying to show a protest against the war. I mean, he's going to have to not just stay on message, but he's going to have to decide, does he want to move a little bit to the left, or I think he's going to get killed.
Well, I think his track record in the United States Senate certainly has him on the right side of the issues that we as progressives and liberals believe in, and I don't think that he needs to nor should walk away from those issues, because at the forefront of those issues are the very issues that people in Ohio, Missouri, and Pennsylvania and Florida also care about. And whether you go to Albuquerque or whether you go to Cincinnati or whether you go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or whether you go to Miami, Florida, people are concerned about health care. And I think that he ought to be proud of the record that he served in the United States Senate on working on these issues with Ted Kennedy. He ought to be proud of the fact that he's taken on the Medicare fraud, which it is, no question about that, as Barbara Boxer took on, as Nancy Pelosi has taken on, and as the Democrats are trying to take on in the House. And I think that John needs to come out very, very strong on the assault weapon ban expiration, because that's another issue that it is inconceivable to us to believe that the House of Representatives wants to move in the direction of taking a position of embracing the NRA at a time when crime is going up now as opposed to going down, and when people are frightened nonetheless in terms of what's going on within our own communities, especially minority communities.
Well, so you don't believe every person has a right to an AK-47 in every pot in every garage?
Absolutely not.
I neither do I. Okay. So, you know, Art, I mean, I think that the forthrightness which you can speak as the head of the California Democratic Party, I mean, even in this conversation, who has access to this guy? Let me raise another concern. I'm white and Jewish. I'm director of the Labor Community Strategy Center.
I thought you were Latino all these years.
Hey, thanks a lot. That's a great compliment. If I... you know, of just my own volition, my top 20, quote, advisors, closest comrades, closest friend, probably 15 are Black, Latino, and Asian. It is incomprehensible to me that when you looked at the top 20 people in Newsweek who's advising these guys, all 20 or 19 were white men and one was a white woman. What's going on with this? I mean, what is this about the inability to understand his needs to have multiracial input, such as from people like you, from Jesse Jackson, from civil rights lawyers, from Lonnie Guinier? I mean, why is he so segregated in his mind?
Well, I don't think he's segregated in his mind because we do talk regularly, and I think that he has obviously a good dialogue with Jesse on a number of issues and a number of other people that are across the country talking to John Kerry. But I want to see very much so, as has happened with Bill Clinton and others, I mean, whoever they have as advisors in the campaign who are actually working there in D.C. as compared to actually who joined the administration were two very different stories for Clinton and clearly for Jimmy Carter. The diversity was there once the election was won and positions were put into place in terms of almost historical proportions for Bill Clinton. And I think that's going to continue under a John Kerry because Ted Kennedy's not going to let it happen otherwise.
Well, I think that's right, and I think that's the other side of it, though, I would say, is that Bill Clinton did an excellent job in terms of the racial composition of his appointments. I think I don't think he did an excellent job in terms of the policies on civil rights. And when we sued the Los Angeles MTA and went to Washington, there's no question that a virtually, at this case, all-black Department of Transportation was better to work with than the Bush administration we're presently working with. But we got virtually no support from Gordon Lenton and who was the head of DOT at the time?
Rodney Slater.
Right, who is now a lobbyist for the rail lobbies. So Bill Clinton did appoint a cabinet that looks like America, but he still did not have a strong civil rights component. He was weak on the judges. He didn't stand up to the right in terms of the appointments. So I agree with you, he was light years ahead of George Bush, but I still think a tremendous disappointment as a person and as a political figure.
Well, I think you'll see once the Kerry administration begins to emerge that there's going to be even more diversity than there was in a Clinton administration. But diversity not only in terms of color and gender and gay or lesbian, but also a persuasion that is considerably progressive on the issues, especially when it comes to the environment and to health care and to those other areas.
Senator Torres, I wanted to ask you a little bit a question in terms of the Fairness Act of 2004 that Kennedy has been proposing. What are the things in terms of civil rights? What are the things that are even talking about to John Kennedy about?
John Kennedy.
Sorry, not John Kennedy. John Kerry.
Oh, John.
Kennedy Bill, John Kerry, JK.
Are you saying all Irish guys look alike? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm definitely not saying that because my roommate's Irish and he doesn't look like any of them. But, I mean, I think more the question relates to when I'm organizing on the bus in South L.A. and I'm talking to Black and Latino people and trying to say you need to get involved and use at least, not as your whole strategy, your whole tactical plan, but you need to vote in this election. And a lot of what I get back is why nobody really talks about civil rights. Some people even say that, you know, civil rights was a period in the past that nobody really talks about. So in terms of the one issue, I mean, health care, insurance, et cetera, those are good things. But in terms of the thing that I feel that it's constantly missing is the piece around civil rights. And my hope is that since Senator Kennedy was on at the DNC, at the convention, speaking with Kerry, that those some of those issues will come out.
And they have in terms of the candidates' position papers, and they certainly have on the campaign trail just this past week before the American Baptist Association, and also in other meetings with black leadership or African-American leadership across the country. I don't think there is any doubt where John Kerry stands on those issues and his commitment and his voting record on those issues. So I think that is, we're not going to have a civil rights commission like we have now, which is just basically civil and no rights, and I think under George Bush. And I think that those, a lot of those things, as I told Eric, I feel will change with a Kerry administration, which is important. And we're making a special effort in the Democratic Party to outreach to young people. And we've been very, very successful in reaching especially Latino and African American and Asian American youth throughout the state, not only in terms of voter registration, but clearly in terms of educating young people on the issue, on the issues that are at hand, not only working with organizations like Rock the Vote and others. It's important for us to continue to reach out. Have we reached everyone? No, of course not. But we're continuing to do that.
All right, thanks so much for this round of it. Next time we have you on, let's get more discussion of the changing politics of the Latino community.
I'd love to talk about that.
And the national and what
at the state level, yes.
At the state level and nationally, and we'll try to have you on before the end of the election.
All right, take care, Eric.
Thanks so much,
Bye.
Eric. Well, now why doesn't he run for office? That guy does have some pretty good politics.
So we're going to be right back in a second with Ted Glick from the International Progressive Politics Network.